And I am Nancy Marks, and I'm interviewing Morris Kling. Today is June 27th, and Mr. Kling, I would like to know when you were born and where you were born, and a little bit about your early childhood and your family, where you lived.
I was born March the 30th, 1904, at Preston and Madison Street, which was really the heart of where the Jewish people lived. Most of them, of course, were immigrants, and I happened to be on my father's side. I'm a second generation Jew, and on my mother's side, I'm a third generation Jew. We lived at that address until I was 6 years old, and we moved out on South 2nd Street. Though we weren't fluent by any means, Jewish people who could afford to move away from Madison Street did move out south in the area of 1st Street and 2nd Street from, Magnolia Street on as far out as Brandeis. I went to Cochrane School, which was at 2nd and Hill, and it was called a silk stocking school because the aristocracy of Louisville lived on South 3rd Street, and this was a real, real affluent bunch of people. The Jewish enrollment at Cochrane School was pretty large because as the years went on, more and more Jewish people lived and moved to that neighborhood. And as far as I can remember, there was no separation of Jewish and Gentile children. They played together and, of course, went to school together, and et cetera, et cetera.
Did you have any formal Hebrew education?
I went to Bris Sholem Sunday School on Sunday, which we took regular traditional old Sunday school lessons, studied the history of the Jews and so forth. We had a custom at Bris Sholem in those days of the children being required to go to Saturday morning services. And most of the children who went Saturday morning, at least among the male children, studied Hebrew Saturday morning. It wasn't a very comprehensive education in Hebrew, but we learned how to read it, and we recognized it, et cetera, et cetera.
Were the services mainly in English?
The services when I was real young, up until the time I'll say when I was 8 or 9 or 10 years old, Bris Sholem, which is a reformed temple similar to Ath Israel, but was a lot more less reformed than Ath Israel, and we stuck to many of the conservative methods of doing things. The services were in part English and part Hebrew. In fact, when I was real young, and I don't remember this, but I remember having been told about it, some of the sermons were given in German. Ath Israel, Bris Sholem, of course, was about 99% German origin, and we did learn just a little Hebrew on Saturday morning.
Okay, that's interesting about German sermons.
Yeah.
What did your parents do? And can you tell us something about your parents?
Yeah, for sure.
Your family.
I had two sisters, and I had three brothers. My two younger brothers and I died when they were quite young from pneumonia. My father was he was in the wholesale general merchandise business, and my mother, who was born in Aurora, Indiana, which is about 30 miles west of Cincinnati, and her family ran what we called a general store in those days in Aurora. And as a child, I liked to visit up there. There was two Jewish families in Aurora, my mother's and another one. My dad was a fairly observant Jew. He wasn't strict in those days. Well, some of the old kosher laws still stuck to reform, the conservative type of reform Judaism, for lack of any other description, I gotta call it that. We didn't observe the dietary laws. We were kept out of school on the Jewish holidays. My sisters were confirmed. My brother Arthur was confirmed in bar mitzvah, and I was bar mitzvah. As a child, I probably lacked some contact with Jewish children because my father, who belonged to the Louisville Turners, which is a German organization, saw to it that I took my gymnastic trainings at Louisville Turners because they were a little, probably on a higher level than what they had at the old YMHA, and in that way I didn't have as close a Jewish contact as a child as some other people. As I remember, there was only two other Jewish families that belonged to the Turners at that time. It was the Fleischakers and the Artners, and that kind of isolated me. Later on, as I got a little older, I did start going to the YMHA, joined the Jewish club there, the Herzl Club, which was really supposed to be an educational club, but it was a social club. And at the Bris Sholem, there was a young people's organization forum, which was called the Bris Sholem Youth Guild. I don't know where in the hell they got that. And that attracted, this was when we were getting to be teenagers, and that attracted teenage children, not only from Bris Sholem, but from other congregations, because there wasn't too many programs of that nature among the other synagogues. And we gave dances. One of our goals and objectives was to get enough money to buy a jukebox, which we finally accomplished, and so forth. So my Jewish association came when I became a teenager and so forth. You know, the old YMHA was the original Jewish Community Center.
Did you go to Male High School here?
I went to Male High School. I went to law school, Jefferson School of Law, when I graduated from Male High. Jefferson School of Law was a night school, I was, when I graduated from high school, I started worked for my father. And that was my spending money, and I didn't want to give that up, so I took law at a very, very fine law school. Jefferson School of Law was a very fine school. We used all the best judges in Louisville as the teaching staff. And eventually it was combined with University of Louisville Law School, and regardless of when you graduated from Jefferson School of Law, you were given a diploma from University of Louisville Law School. I didn't practice law but a very short time because I was very anxious to have a steady income rather than to wait until I could build up a law practice, and I took a job that my father offered me. And I've been in that business ever since.
Okay, well, all right. So when you finished law school and you went into business with your dad, did you continue to live at home, or?
I lived at home until I got married. I was married in 1929. And I was the youngest child and the last to get married. My mother had passed away in 1920. That's when I was 16 years old. And my father remarried a woman who worked for him at his wholesale business after I got married. And we had real good relationships with her after she married my father.
And where did you all, continue to live downtown, or?
No, we, as I say, as a child, I was born on Madison Street. We moved out south, as the Jewish population moved out south on 1st Street and 2nd Street. And we lived until my mother died. We lived that way there. My sister kept house after my mother died. But we lived out in the south end until we broke up the home when I got married in 1929. Then Betty and I lived in Maplewood Place. That's near Bonnie Castle. That's where my brother still lives there. We lived there until our family got too big. We got three children. We had Susie first, and then when two of them came at one time, all of a sudden the house got too small, and we got out, and we moved on Byron Avenue in Strathmore. I became active in some community affairs through the Jewish Community Center. I became interested. And as I grew older, I became involved in put on the Free Show and Temple Board when I was quite young. I became active at the Jewish Community Center, put on that board. I eventually became president of the Brit Shalom Temple and became president of the Jewish Community Center. And of course, like anybody else, if you go to enough meetings, you're going to be put on boards. I've been on various boards. I was general chairman of the United Jewish Appeal. It's been some years ago already. And I was chairman of the Bonds for Israel Drive for a couple of years. My non-sectarian interests have been with the Boy Scouts. I became highly interested in the Fair Share Plan for the Boy Scouts in the West End. That's where The Boy Scouts were neglected down there because as the whites moved away, nobody really did anything for the black kids, and they were had a lack of troops, and we finally got them stirred up to get some churches to open, to organize some Boy Scouts troops down there. I've been active in the United Way for a good number of years. Of course, now I'm, you know, we don't live here all the time. We're down in Florida half the time. I've been chairman of the United Jewish Appeal Drive in our condominium. We got about 1,000 units in our two buildings where we live, and I've been chairman for the last 3 years, which is quite a task because you can cut this part out of the tape if you don't want to. 90% of the people who live in our two buildings are New Yorkers, and they're the toughest mobsters to get along with than anybody ever. You're not from New York. You're from...
No.
You're from Lexington.
Right.
So I'm really more interested in living in Louisville as great a part of the year as I can, because I've got more interest up here. We got 11 grandchildren. They all live in Louisville, and believe me, when you got that many, they're mostly, most people got them scattered all over the country. I'm still active in some community affairs, and I still go down to the office for a few hours a day. And it's hard to kill time down in Florida, especially when I'm a little handicapped getting around. So you want to know some people?
Well, I was wondering, you know, when you were president of Bris Shalom and the Jewish Community Center, were there any changes that were going on in the community at that time? Or, I don't know.
Well, now let's see. What changes did we make at Bris Shalom Temple? Off the record, we gave the rabbi a raise every year. That's not a change. Shortly after I became president, didn't happen when I was president, Bris Shalom moved from Second and College up to its present location at Speed and Cowling. It was, Bris Shalom was on a downgrade because the Jewish population was moving into the Highlands, and we were losing membership. Hadith Israel wasn't losing so many because they had probably, may have been a better organization, I don't know. So when we finally moved to the Highlands, Bris Shalom turned around and the membership started to go up by leaps and bounds. The Sunday school went from small number of 40 or 45 when we were down on 2nd Street, and it went up to almost 250 when we, three or four years after we were up here.
So there was really a lot to be done in organizing.
Yes. Well, I say that was done. That move was made before I became president. That was made about 4 or 5 years before I became president. We had as our rabbi during World War II, Solomon Bazell, who was a very outspoken man. He was one of the few Jewish leaders, Jewish in their rabbinate, who warned the people about Hitler and continually talked from the pulpit about what was going to happen. And he, during World War II, he went into the service as a chaplain. When he got out of the service, he gave up the rabbinate. Another rabbi who probably became involved, because of what was happening was Martin Perley, who was our rabbi during the Vietnam War, and he got in the bad graces of our congregation, and bad graces, I guess, of the Jewish population as a whole at that time, because he was strongly against the Vietnam War, and he spoke up, which is something most rabbis won't do. That's when he gave up the rabbinate and took the human relations job. My brother Arthur, that's the guy you ought to interview. Right. Somebody ought to interview him.
He's being interviewed.
My brother Arthur has made a tremendous contribution to the community as a whole compared to what myself have done in his work on for the elderly, senior citizens. Arthur had studied to be a rabbi at Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati. In those days, the course was 9 years, and a tremendous lot of rabbinical students dropped out of school in their 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th year because it was so long that they got, maybe not bored, they got cynical about hearing the same thing over again, and they got out because they couldn't see their way clear to be sincere in the work. But that's what happened to him.
Okay. What about when you were president of the Jewish Community Center? When you were president of the temple, you must have really had a lot of work to do in those years before you were president and president.
Well, I was, I was on the temple board, probably from 1930, and I became president something like 1955 or thereabouts. And it wasn't any trick to be on the temple board. We did, judging by what gauges you want to judge a temple, the temple did become prosperous, number-wise and from a budgetary standpoint. Whether we turned out any better Jews or not, I don't know. The Jewish Community Center is a lot bigger challenge than the president of a shul, because you're dealing with tremendously a lot more people. You're dealing with Jews of all three ideologies. You're dealing with a lot of non-Jewish people. Jewish Community Center today has got maybe 30-35% non-Jewish members, which from a financial standpoint they need. They join the center, as you know, because of the outdoor facilities. It's convenient for them. The center one time was cheaper than any swim club, Lakeside or anybody else. But that was a bigger challenge than being the president of a synagogue. The club program at the Jewish Community Center in Louisville and every place else has always been a problem with what kind of a program do you want. You know, most of the clubs out at the center are BBYO clubs.
These are for the high school youngsters.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a problem to get the children to be democratic so they don't join a club that their mother belonged to or their father belonged to and become snobs. They have a prestige club. It's always been with a problem at the Jewish Community Center to have a program to involve people instead of seeing how excellent a program can be. At one time, the old YMHA, which was the predecessor of the Jewish Community Center, in an effort to have a good varsity basketball team, they got basketball players. It didn't make any difference whether they were Jewish or non-Jewish, or whether they were active in the Jewish Community Center and the Hebrew YMHA or not, they had to have a good basketball team. The dramatic group got that way at one time. I think it still is, but it was so that they were looking for perfection, and they went out and got real good talent, had good productions, but that isn't the purpose of the Jewish Community Center, is to give a program to involve people who belong in it. The orchestra, they had an orchestra out there that became so practically non-affiliated with the center, because here again they wanted to go out and get the best first violinist and the best drummer and so forth, so they had one hell of a good orchestra, but it wasn't what the purpose of the center was, to have the members participate. So that had to be de-emphasized.
That was one of the things you de-emphasized during your...
Well, I was annoyed. I'll say it's an ongoing, not wasn't my motivation. It was an ongoing thing, because it always continually crept up. If you left it alone, you would have a dramatic group that was interested in perfection. You'd have an orchestra that played beautiful music, and you'd have a basketball team that was tops, but it didn't involve the membership. And that's what the purpose of a Jewish Community Center is. The Jewish Community Center, incidentally, has been one of the best things that can happen to Judaism, insofar that it gets Orthodox, conservative, and Reform kids together, and they don't have that prejudice like they used to have against each other.
Did they used to really have that when you were growing up?
Oh, sure. I'm sure you heard the words Polak and Kike and those kind of words. Do you know Nancy? At one time, and I'm going back maybe 60, 65 years ago, Eastern Russian and Polish Jews could not join the Standard Club, because if you weren't from Germany or Austria-Hungary, the hell with you. Of course, I say that's going back 50 or 60 years ago. There was a lot of prejudice among the different branches of Judaism.
That's really interesting. I think we'll rest for a minute, okay?
Okay.
We're now going to talk about some other things that Richard Payne's parents did when he was a youngster. Just what they as Jewish adults did in the community. Okay?
My father was involved in politics, and he was interested in the Loyola Board of Education and ran for it for several times, never got elected, but was a influence in some of the policies that they had. The reason he was interested in the Board of Education, because he, in his business, he sold a tremendous lot of school supplies, and he was interested in seeing that the quality of the education went along with the commercial part of it. He also was involved, at one time he was chairman of the Democratic Campaign Committee in Louisville. And didn't become involved in any religious things in those two positions.
What were some of the policies that the board adopted, the Board of Education adopted, that he was interested in?
Well, he was interested in seeing that the sale of school supplies was kept out of the school system instead of being sold in schools, were sold by merchants, because he thought that there was an area of graft which whoever administered to sell school supplies in the schools could get their fingers on. He was also interested in seeing that the children got the best value, that is, the most number of sheets of paper and a tablet or in a filler paper. And he was instrumental in seeing that free books. He tried for many years to get free books in the local school. Of course, that eventually came, but not in his time.
And that's why you've always been interested in Jewish education.
Yeah, right.
I don't have on tape what you did in Jewish education.
What I did in Jewish education? My participation in Jewish education was being a member of the Bureau of Jewish Education Board and trying to upgrade the quality of Jewish education, both in the congregational schools and in the community schools. I was on the Hebrew School Board, the Community Hebrew School Board, and it was my goal to help where I could to see that the quality was upgraded, and I think not certainly due to my own effort, but I think over a period of years, as I told you before, I think the quality has been tremendously upgraded. Will you excuse me a minute?
Sure.
Be sure. In my memory, there's two Jewish men who made a big contribution to the community, and one of them is Charlie Morris, and the other is Louis Cole Sr. That's the father of Louis Cole. And they were both instrumental in organizing Judaism, getting Jewishness organized in Louisville, which was important. I think Charlie Strahl needs mentioning for the work that he did in New Americans from 1940 on, and Selma Kling, both of them made a tremendous contribution in settling of New Americans in Louisville.
When was this?
That was from 1940 to 19, almost up to the present, 1970. There was a, as you know, a Jewish people from Jewish refugees from Europe had to have somebody make an affidavit out for them in this country that they wouldn't be thrown on the public to support. And they made those arrangements. They made arrangements to see that they were housed when they got here, properly fed. Got those that they could, got them jobs. We had
quite a few German refugees that came to Louisville and went into the mercantile business. Max Oppenheimer, who had the O&L stories, and Martin Arnold, Joe Loeb, and Fred Lewis and Alfred Bear. They were all helped by, well, they were well-to-do Jews in Germany. At the time they got out of Germany, they didn't have, they couldn't bring it with them. Eventually they got reparations, but they were helped by the New American Committee.
And did most of the Jewish communities, you know, do everything they could to help settle?
The Jewish community was sympathetic to them. There was one, you got to understand the personalities of German people. My dad was a German, and we used to call him a hard-headed Dutchman. And the Germans who came to Louisville were also hard-headed. Some people called them arrogant, but they were Jewish people, and they were given help for that reason. They eventually become assimilated, took on the ways of the American Jews.
About how many German Jews came over, you know, between 1940 and 50? And, you know, just mentioning a few names that you had, seems like there were a lot.
Well, I would say Nancy, I wouldn't care to make a guess.
Oh, okay.
You could probably really, I think, in this, if you wanted to find it in this book of Clarence's, it would probably mention it.
Okay.
That's good to know. Here's some of the people that Joe Kaplan, of course, he's on the local presidency now, Joe Kaplan. Phil Levitch, he's passed away. Past President of the Federation. I was the Vice President of the Federation, never the President, because when I reached that point, I was going down to Florida for 6 months a year. That's Ms. Friedman's husband, Norbert. You probably heard tell him. Here's some of the original, charter members of the original conference, which we now call a federation. That's the original people who farmed it, the time. Mm-hmm. And there are many people that are new.
Now, is this the Morris man?
Charlie Morris, yes.
Okay, this is a good man.
Take that and learn through it, you might.
Okay. When you were chairman of BJA in Louisville, when was that?
Give me the book, I'll tell you.
Okay.
1962. That year we raised all of $530,000. The year before we raised $467,000. The year after, we raised $510,000. The real big increase. 7 because of the city war.
UGA here began with the creation of the State of Israel, or?
The original, I would say approximately, or maybe a year or two before. Let's see what year the first year they had in this book.
I would like to know about any of the outstanding or great personalities that you met that were nationally great or from Israel or something like that.
Well, I met Goldie Meir, and I met Ben Gurion, and I met practically everybody who was the main person with Israel. Not only here, but I met them in New York because I attended many national meetings in New York, and of course I met some of them in Israel, and I couldn't catalog them all, but it was the system to have people meet those people, of course. And being a worker, I met just about all of them. I didn't meet the president, president, premier, Benign?
Something like that.
I didn't meet him.
Now, did you meet them at dinners, or did you meet them in small groups?
I met them at dinners, I met them at the cocktail hours before dinners. The national, what they used to call a national kickoff dinner, our meeting for the United Jewish Appeal used to be held in Miami, and they always brought named people in there. And I met them there, either individually or met them by listening to them. It was moved to New York, and I attended many of those meetings in New York. Of course, everybody who was involved in the campaigns at any high level at all attended those kind of meetings to get the information, to get indoctrinated, to get the food.
Are there any interesting anecdotes you have from that you recall or that from any of these meetings?
Israel several times. We met lots of people in Israel. Betty has some relatives over there that we got to know pretty well. Left Germany in 1939 or 1940 and got into Israel. Biggest friend we Jews had was Harry Truman, because he was the one that played an important part in getting Israel recognized as the United Nations. You know, Harry Truman was in the haberdashery business with a Jew, a fellow named Jacobson, who was supposed to have some influence on Sherman, whether it's true or not, I don't know.
I know you've worked, you know, in the community and temple and and given so much of your time to help others. Would you like to say something about how you have worked to bring about a new Reformed congregation or why?
No, I don't want to say anything because I'm just one of many who contributed those things. I'll say this, that there are a lot of people who work for the betterment of all kinds of things. They do it for the people they work for, but they do it also for their own satisfaction and involvement. When I'm down in Florida, as I say, I took that job at UJA to get myself involved. I like to do those things, and it keeps you busy. I try to do volunteer work in Florida. You got that tape thing on? Turn it off, I'll tell you something about my volunteer work.